Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I've been thinking about a scripture in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Paul was giving some directions to the folks here in Ephesians. Oh, see, I'll pick it up with the 13th verse maybe. But all things that are, this is Ephesians 5 and 13. But all things that are approved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou out of that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves. And it goes on with the instructions that the Lord has given for us to look at and put into our lives, actions into our lives, talking about that we could understand what the will of God is. It ought to be important not to be unwise, but understanding to know what the will of God is, and then gives instructions. And I don't know, we get busy with life sometimes and think we read these scriptures, and we really don't know what the far extent of it is. I'm kind of thinking about, because I like to plant plants and I like to garden and those kind of things, and I don't feel like that it's really profitable to me to just dig a hole out in the yard or out in the garden somewhere and put a plant in there and to leave it to its own doings and figure out that I'll get a lot out of it. It takes some attention. You don't necessarily fertilize a place for the immediate time. You put fertilize it for the increase that you can get from it, and further time will matter. And this is talking about those kind of things. And when he says, and again, I don't know how much we apply this, but we really maybe should think about it. He says, speaking to yourselves. I don't know who self, is that speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is actually some instruction that the Lord is giving us for the victory of our own lives. That we be involved in this, realizing that we need to fertilize sometimes. We need to keep active in our lives the things of God. Keep them alive in our own lives. I don't know whether this is talking about whether I should be speaking to you, but it says speaking to yourselves. I don't know. It almost sounds like that this is a place of ministering to yourself. I didn't look into it close, but I do want us to consider the idea of ministering to ourselves. You can listen to what you want to. You can talk about what you want to. You can sing songs what you want to. But you can also, in the choice of this, you can edify your own life, build up your own life, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, adding to my own life the things that I believe, getting and hearing the testimonies of the songwriters and those kind of things, And I don't really want to focus on that voice, that verse, just kind of setting the standard for the idea here of ministering to ourselves and building up our own faith and our own life. And I've been listening to this song. It's penetrated my mind. I've got this in my heart. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Been singing the song, what a mighty God we serve. Well, all of a sudden, I'm in need of a mighty God. And I've been singing that, and I believe in that. And the virtue of faith, we sing about the virtue of faith and darkest night and brazen sky. Yeah, I've been in that place. But faith has pierced that. I got something more here. So this goes, and I want to look at specifically this 20th verse. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. If I could title this message, though I won't use the phrase much, and maybe you won't get it this way, but if I title this, I would probably title it True Faith. Because this scripture captures what I believe true faith really is. We speak of God as God Almighty. The Christian belief is in a God that transcends everything. We believe that God created the whole universe and is outside the universe and through it and through everything. And this is the God that we believe in. We believe in a supreme being, God. And this God is all powerful, all knowing, all present. This God knows every thought that we think. He knows more than the thoughts that we think. He knows the very intent. He goes down to the marrow of the bone, as the scripture says. This is the God that if we was to ask, we can explain this is the God, but do I really believe in the God? This expression of the apostle, he is telling us, if you want victory in your life, here is the faith of victory in your life, giving thanks always for all things. Giving thanks always for all things. Now here is the idea. To those that live for God, to the children of God, God is like the atmosphere. Okay? The earth has an atmosphere. Nothing can come to the earth. Nothing can come to the earth from outside without going through the atmosphere. The root of that is sphere, and it means all round. It's not a circle. A circle is flat, right? But a sphere is the sphere. You can't get into it without going somewhere through it. You can't get to the earth without going through its atmosphere. And so the idea is, to the Christian, God is our atmosphere. You cannot get to me without going through the sphere. There's no place that you can come. You can't come from the bottom, from the top. You can't come from the side. You can't penetrate internally. You cannot get to me without going through God. He is my atmosphere. He's your atmosphere today. Be encouraged, because God is our atmosphere. You can't get to, the devil can't get to you. Evil men can't get to you. People with bad intentions can't get to you. People with any intentions can't get to you. Good, bad, indifferent, evil, nothing can get to you without going through the atmosphere that is God. And that's why I believe this is so much a matter of faith when he says to us, and encouraging us to build up this idea that God is you can, do you really realize that in all things, you can thank God. And you may say, why would I thank God for these dirty, sinful hands that's touched me? You know why you can? You don't thank God for the sin. You don't thank God for the... You're thankful because He's our atmosphere. There is no way that anyone came through and touched me with anything that didn't go through God first. It come through, and what we're really thanking God for, we're thanking God for that it had to go through Him first. He would obliterate it. You know, you hear of these shooting stars. You ever see what a shooting star? You know what a shooting star is? They say, I can't verify any of this. I'm not that smart and couldn't know. But they say some of it is nothing bigger than a grain of sand. It's particles that comes through space that hits the Earth's atmosphere. And as it comes through the Earth's atmosphere, being pulled to the Earth by the gravity, it pulls through the atmosphere. And if it's quite large, it makes a great big tail because it gets so hot that it just burns up as it comes through. And that's what, it's just little particles that come in through the sky and it lights up and burns that. And occasionally if it's bigger, it might not burn up all the way and it'll come as a chunk of meteorite or whatever. It can come to the earth or whatever. They say something as big as a bowling ball would be a catastrophe to hit the earth and all that. But you know, my point here is that there's an atmosphere it's got to go through. This stuff's got to go through the atmosphere to get to the earth. And just like that, God has made it until there is nothing that can go through, come to us unless it goes through Him first. It's got to come through the atmosphere. And there is times that the devil intends something that the Lord says, that will destroy my child. I'm going to burn that up right here in this atmosphere. It's not going to make it to them because they're too weak, they're too small, they can do it. But there's a time and place that the Lord's going to say they need charged. They need an intention. They need something to stir them in their soul and their mind. So, yeah, there's an intention coming, and I'm going to let it hit right at their feet just to get their attention. Because they need something to stir them, I'm going to allow this to go. Do you know that it has to be directed by the Lord? So this scripture says to me, if we believe this, and I'm going to tell you, it's absolutely scripturally sound. And if we believe that God is this, we can thank Him. Because no matter what our human minds tells us about the situation, this came through the hands of the one that died on a cross for me. This comes through the will of God. Can you say, which Paul says this in his scriptures, therefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. As we live for God and are faithful to God, and we pray for the various things that we pray for, what is the most of what we pray for? Yeah, we pray for the healing. We hear somebody's sick. But almost always at the bedrock of our prayers is, Lord, we want them to go to heaven. Lord, we want to go to heaven. Lord, we want to be prosperous in our souls. We want health here. We want to be happy here. We want our family. We want to see our family. We want to live in euphoria sometime. That ain't happening here. But the bedrock of our prayers is generally, Lord, save our family. Lord, have mercy on them. Lead them to this place. I know Linda and I've even had the attitude sometimes of something that looks negative that we'll almost have the attitude of, Lord, don't allow this moment to be squandered. This come through your atmosphere. I'm convinced that this come through the atmosphere of God. This come through God. to this, and now I'm nervous. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, I'm a little under this, but this come through the atmosphere. So the Lord is saying to us here, you want a greater victory of this, get to this understanding. Don't be unwise to the will of God. The will of God is greater than you can ever understand. He works with us through these things that He'll allow to come through to us. And sometimes they're hard. Sometimes they're difficult to understand when you look at them and say, how can that be so? I happened to come through this place and I my vision wasn't 20/20. It was way less than that. It was blurred. I couldn't see it, but I'm a fairly young man. I got a young wife and we got young children and all of a sudden she gets cancer and it isn't looking good and she's going to die. And I'm looking at all that and saying, this can't be right. Nothing about this can seem to be right. But faith was saying at the same time, trust in me, for ultimately what do you want? I want her to be saved. I want to be saved. I want the children to be saved. That's my ultimate goal. And the Lord is saying, trust me. And if you can get, and if you really want to have this right, learn this lesson in all things. All the time. Give thanks. Because this is the will of God concerning you. I allowed this moment. It's impossible. I want to say this, regardless of what it seems or looks like, it is impossible for the devil to touch you if the Lord don't tell him he can do it. So there's a scripture, I can back that up. I just want to rehearse the story a little bit. There was a man named Job who feared God. And he made sacrifices to the Lord on a regular basis. And you can go to Job 1 and read this story about how the devil comes, something about the sons of God gathered together and the devil came too and he comes there to that and there's a little conversing between God and the devil and the Lord says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That's quite a thing for the Lord to say, isn't it? And the devil acknowledged it. There's none like him in all the world. He issueth evil and fears God. And the devil said, I'll put it in my own language. I've considered him. But you put such a hedge around him, I can't touch him. The man prospers in everything he does. You have put such a hedge around him that his cattle have calves, and I'm ad libbing, give me the liberty, but you've done so much to him that you've blessed him and such, and his children are healthy and well, and all of his cattle's are grinding, his fields are grinding, his intention, and he lives. What can I do with something like, what can I do with some man like that you have done all that? I'll do that. But he's just serving you because of the blessings you give him. The only reason Job's serving you is because every cow has double calves and all his goats have triples and you got him so blessed that who wouldn't serve you for that? But if you touch him, he'd curse you. That's kind of the way the story went. And you know what the Lord says? He testified about Job. But you know, he knew some other things about Job too. He knew there was ground that Job could make up. You know, there was places that Job could have come on along. And the Lord said to the devil, I'll let you touch his things. All of that come through the atmosphere. That was not haphazard. That wasn't cunning by the devil that tricked God or none of that stuff. That come through the atmosphere of God. This was the will of God for Job. He also wanted a story that we could relate to. I've had those times that it seemed like that the whole world was crashing around. When the devil touched that, all of a sudden here comes a messenger that says the Sabaeans fell upon your stuff and destroyed them. And here comes, before he quit speaking, here was another one that came by and said the Chaldeans come and done this, kind of stole this stuff and done this, and I'm the only servant left. And the next one, before time he quit speaking, here was another and saying that the house fell in on your children and they're all dead. And it was just an absolute shock and awe to Job's mind and heart. I've been blessed in all of this, and now all of these things has happened. All of that come through the atmosphere, because God can see the end of the matter when we can't see the end of the matter. And God had something in mind for Job beyond that. Do you know that God can use the devil to get us in the place we should be in? There's more than enough places to realize God commands the enemy. There is a sphere around the people of God. There is a sphere of God around us. We can't be touched unless the Lord lets it to. And there's where the idea of faith really comes in. Do we really believe that God cares for me? Do I really believe that God is going to keep His promise of protecting me? Am I assured that God is on my side? There is a sphere around the people of God. Job had that sphere around him even when it didn't look like it. Everything had to come through God, who loved Job. So at a certain place, Job had some things inside him he didn't know that he even had. He comes down to one point with kind of the idea that he was something that he wasn't, and the Lord comes by and says, "Really, Job? So if I was hungry, am I supposed to ask you for something to eat? Job, where was you when I put the whales in the sea? Where was you when I made the animals that walked the earth? What was you doing, Job? If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you for something to eat, Job." Job finally realizes that there was a place in his life, and at the end of it, you know what he said? "I've come forth as pure gold." This whole thing that God has put in, allowed in my life, has made me so much stronger, so much better. This all came by the hand of God, through the will of God. The most famous of all of these, I think, to say would be, of this story, would be the story of Joseph. Joseph was a God-fearing young man. He had a heart for God, and God had him within His sphere the whole time. And there wasn't anything that happened to him. Even though the intentions was from his brother, they plotted. They plotted in their mind. God saw that in his sphere and said, "I'm going to use this. I'm going to allow." Do you ever have thoughts in your mind that you never bring to any kind of, "Oh, I've had all kind of projects I never brought to anything. I've had all kind of things in mind." You know, God don't have to allow people's thoughts to develop to anything. But God allowed their thoughts. God could have stopped Satan from even entering that thought to him. But God allowed in his sphere these thoughts that they were going to take care of this one that they were jealous of. And so they concocted the plan that they would kill the goat. Remember, they'd take Joseph's coat of many colors that his father had made him, and they made it out like he had died. They threw him in the well. I think they wanted to just kill him. I think Reuben ended up saying, "No, let's not do that." They sold him into slavery. All this was terrible. All was as bad. All of it was hurtful. How would you like to go through something like that? And every bit of it was in the sphere of God's will. There wasn't anything that didn't happen that God didn't allow to happen to say, I've got something I'm going to accomplish by all of these things. And it didn't get better for a while. He went on and he was Potiphar's and God allowed Potiphar's wife to think the thoughts that she did. He allowed her to pull what she did. He allowed Joseph not to be destroyed right there, but thrown into the dungeon where there happened to be some other men that God happened to allow in the sphere too. And he actually used the whole thing within his sphere. Folks, that's what God does for us. This is why it is proper for us to develop in our lives a true faith in God. A true faith in God. That this that is happening came through the sphere of God. I can thank God and show the world that I really believe in this God, because I can say in the harshest times, thank you, God, for leading true. Thank you for what you can accomplish when nobody else can. There's another famous story that's told with these kind of messages. And it was the story of a man named Spafford, I think. And that his name that wrote, "'Tis well with my soul." And there's quite a story about the man in there, but the story that applies to this is that he lost in the Great Chicago Fire. He lost a lot, if not all. I mean, he lost a lot of his assets in the fire. And with all that was going on, they ended up, I think, he had a couple daughters, wife. They were going to sail to England, and he was going to meet them there at a later time. He was going to take care of some of the business after this great loss, and he would follow over. In the process of the time, you know this story, the ship that had his wife and daughters on it went down. I'm not sure if they all died. Maybe the wife lived. I don't remember. Did they all die? Or the wife? I think the daughters died. But he had a son, if I'm not mistaken, there was a son that had died before the fires. They lost a son. This is in succession. They lose this son, which I cannot hardly imagine the grief that it would cause. And then he lost his assets in the fire. And now the rest of his precious cargo is going over there, and the ship goes down. And he gets word, and he's going over to his wife. The daughters are gone, forever gone. No funeral, no, oh, I don't know. But the song was composed and thought, as he said, I think he requested that when they got near where the ship went down that they would notify him. And he looked into the water as he thought of the lyrics. And this is where this song was born. "'Tis well with my soul." How is a peace like a river? It's an incredible. It was an incredible story and song. I think so. Saved alone. I think sometimes it's hard to thank God. That's why I'm calling this true faith. Because the scripture says to us, thank God. Thank God. He wrote the song out of a spirit of thanking God. Heartache would be hard. It'd be tremendous and all of that. But God, I know you lead true. That's faith. Lord, I know this episode that you allowed to come through your atmosphere that touched our lives so drastically has a greater point. And if you want to call this blind faith, I don't mind it. But it's faith in the reality of the one we know and what he has promised. There is an atmosphere around a Christian's life. And he will only allow in our lives what he knows is the best way for us to obtain eternal life. and to obtain the promises of the Lord. And he allowed a ship to, he allowed this little boy to go on. He allowed the Chicago Fire to take it. He allowed a ship to go down with them on it. He allowed these things in this man's life. And he wrote a song that will, this song will go way beyond this man's life and has for a long, long time. 'Tis well with my soul. I can actually believe that everything that the Lord allows in my life, I'm preaching to myself tonight because I'm a worrier, I'm a fusser, I'm a worrier and all these things. And this was the victory that the Lord was giving us. This is how you combat that. Thank God for everything. Give thanks for the things that's in your life. Not everyone's going to treat you right. God, let that in your world. Not everything's going to go right. Thank the Lord for it. Because there's something that God wants to do in this. If we could just go and realize that the atmosphere of God is around my life always. You don't shoot an arrow at me without it passing through God, because He's my atmosphere. I walk in the presence of God. And so if you fire something at me, you're going to have to shoot through God to get to me. And it's all-encompassing. It's all. The expression there was to walk circumspectly. That means that you walk around it. You look at it from every direction. This is the atmosphere of God that is so prevalent. And you can look a lot of places in the scriptures and to those that was faithful. Do you believe that the three Hebrew children, do you believe that the king's command and decree for everyone to bow didn't come through the atmosphere of God? Well, of course it did. He had the remedy for it. You don't believe that Daniel, when he got to that point, you don't thank God that all of this that happened to Daniel come through God's atmosphere? Of course it did. He allowed them to do that. The whole story of Esther is a beautiful account of God's atmosphere around His people. And how He dealt with those that would do harm and bring it. And all of those, even though it seemed like it was to be destructive, was actually to build. God takes the things that would tear us down to build us up with. Sometimes I know, I can testify to you absolutely of my own experience, that I need God to arrest me sometimes. I need God to arrest me and say, you're going the wrong way. You know, if you keep going this way, I need God to be faithful to every once in a while, let some of the stuff come through the atmosphere all the way down till it touches me. I think he burns most of it up. But every once in a while, He's got one directly aimed. He allows it to directly aim at me, and here it comes. And it hurts when it hits. But I want to be able to say, thank you, Lord. I mentioned about my wife. I can say now with 20/20 vision looking back, God's way is best. Heart ceased us struggling to see and know and understand. He was amazing through it all. He did it right, all of it. He knew how to do the best with everybody involved, and that's God. So, Lord, help us today to remember. We can build ourselves by singing the songs, edifying ourselves. We can do it by practicing and learning. I'm not saying that you have to yell it out or be vocal about it. I'm saying in your heart, there is a thank you, God, for the things that you do in my life. Thank you. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.